Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Over 5 million Americans are living with Alzheimer's disease today, and by the year 2050, as many as 16 million will have the disease. According to the National Center for Health Statistics of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Alzheimer's disease is the sixth leading cause of death in the United States. It's the fifth leading cause of death in South Dakota, which also has the second highest Alzheimer's death rate in the country. Researchers are working to find ways to test and prevent Alzheimer's and to help fund and support Alzheimer's programs, services, and research. Walks to end Alzheimer's are being held across the country. Walks in Sioux Falls, Rapid City, and Aberdeen are coming up in September. Leslie Morrow is the executive director of the South Dakota chapter of the Alzheimer's Association, and she joins us on the line. And Leslie, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Hi, Carl. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Well, the words Alzheimer's and dementia and dementia are often used interchangeably, but Alzheimer's is really just a form of dementia?
You know, most people who have dementia have some sort of Alzheimer's. The lines are a little bit blurry there. So, you know, there are some sorts of dementia that are associated with things like vascular issues. There's some Parkinson's that come with dementia. So that's really where the differences lie, but the lines are pretty blurry. And like I said, most people that have dementia have Alzheimer's disease.
Are researchers any closer to finding out what causes Alzheimer's?
You know, I was in Washington, D.C. in the spring, and we got a chance to hear from the head of the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, and he had said something that has stuck with me ever since then. He said, we feel that Alzheimer's is starting to reveal her secrets. And really now what it comes down to is having the funding to pay for the research and the science that's needed to really crack those codes and crack the secrets. And, you know, one of the things that recently that was held in Copenhagen was the Alzheimer's Association International Conference, and that really is the largest group of researchers from around the globe who come together, and what's so rare about it is that they share their research. A lot of times, scientists are pretty protective of the work that they've done, but they come together, they gather around the table to share their knowledge and understanding that they're all in it together, that it's up to us to really find an end to this disease that's running rampant across the globe. And so really a lot of interesting studies and research came out of that. Of course, we know that a lot of research still needs to be done, thus the dollars, thus the reason, as you mentioned, that we're having our walks all across the country.
Now, you said that researchers are starting to find out that Alzheimer's is revealing her secrets, and also, as you mentioned, long ways to go. But are there some interesting things that have come out, particularly maybe at the international conference in July?
One of the really interesting studies, I think, was the potential for some smell and some eye tests as far as early detection. You know, that's what we're really looking at. If we can get to some early detection and prevention, we can keep people from developing the full-blown symptoms and effects of Alzheimer's altogether. And so one of those studies dealt with people, it shows that they really can't correctly identify odors once they get along with the disease. So based on some smell identification tests and different testing like that, they found that the loss of brain cell function and worsened memory were associated with that smell difference. So basically you can't smell some smells when you have some decreased cognitive impairment there. So that's something that we could look at. Imagine how great that would be if you went to your general practitioner and they were able to do the smell test to see if you were showing signs of Alzheimer's. There was also a test that looked at changes in the eye, that maybe if we could do a simple eye test that would show some early signs of that as well. And again, this would just change the game dramatically if we were already getting those diagnoses early in your doctor's office with your regular checkups.
So what can happen then if you're showing these early signs of Alzheimer's? I mean, there's no cure. So what happens when you have the early detection?
You know, as far as what signs would you be showing? Is that
well? As far as the doctor, you have these tests, the eye test, the smell test, for example, and shows that you have signs of Alzheimer's. Can you prevent it? Can you slow it down? What can be done?
at this point, unfortunately, no, we don't have any preventive treatments or any ways to slow it down at this time. And that's, of course, what they're looking at, is that maybe they could formulate a way that could, you know, we think of polio, how that's pretty much been wiped off our concern level. And that's what they're exactly what they're looking to do with Alzheimer's disease. But at the same time, you know, we've done a lot of studies and found that people, the 95% of people over 60 would want to know if they had Alzheimer's. We know that they are able to plan accordingly and look at what needs to be taken care of down the road. That brings a lot of peace to them and comfort, and that they actually would like to know if they have the disease so they can plan accordingly.
Now, Alzheimer's is seen as a disease of old age, primarily people 60, 65 and older, but there are examples of younger people who do get Alzheimer's?
That's right. You know, we are seeing across the country an alarming increase in the number of people who have what we call younger onset Alzheimer's disease, and that means that they receive their diagnosis before the age of 65. Oftentimes, they're showing signs in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, and there are about 300,000 people across the country right now who have already been diagnosed with younger onset, and a growing number of people that we hear that come into our office seeking services because they have a husband, a wife that are also suffering from those symptoms. So, you know, that really also changes the idea. We're really trying to focus on making Alzheimer's disease a public health issue. We say if you have a brain, you are at risk for this disease. It's not just a matter of something that comes along with normal aging. And that is, you know, something that we are really working to change the thought processes of the people, because not only because of the younger onset, because we know that prevention can play a huge role in this, and we want people to, you know, take care of themselves and keep their minds active as much as possible, because we are all at risk.
So there are preventive things you can do? I mean, there's a way to prevent Alzheimer's?
You know, I hesitate to say prevention, but what we do say, you know, if you want to keep your heart healthy, the more you exercise, the more capillaries it creates in your heart, and you keep it stronger. Well, we say the same thing with your brain. If you keep your brain active, it creates more connections in your brain, so that when you do start to lose brain function as a result of dementia or Alzheimer's disease, you have more backups, so to speak, more to call upon if you've created those new pathways in your brain. The more you learn, every time you learn something new or you try something new and use your brain in that matter, be it with games or learning new things, you're creating new pathways. And so if you have more of those, obviously with a diagnosis, you would have, it would just help put off the symptoms perhaps longer, or, you know, give you more to use.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with Leslie Morrow. She's the executive director of the South Dakota chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. And coming up next month, there are walks to end Alzheimer's coming up in Sioux Falls, Rapid City, and Aberdeen. The statistics are that there are 5 million Americans who currently live with Alzheimer's, but the Alzheimer's Association says that by the year 2050, there could be as many as 16 million people with Alzheimer's. So why is it expected to grow?
Well, part of it is because we know that people are living longer. We have a large number of people who will be reaching the baby boom generation that will be age 65 and older, and that is expected to dramatically increase. So that plays a huge role in the numbers that we are anticipating as far as prevalence of Alzheimer's disease. So that's one of the things that we're looking at. You know, part of it as well is that people are understanding what the symptoms are. They're getting diagnosed earlier, so that's another reason that we're seeing. But mostly it's just the fact that we're living longer, and we have that baby boomer generation coming down the pike.
Now, you talk about the signs of Alzheimer's. The big question always is, how do you tell whether this is just your basic memory loss, or just your basic, you know, just these brief moments of forgetting things, and whether it's something more serious like Alzheimer's?
Right. You know, we do have 10 warning signs that we go over, but in a nutshell, we usually say anything that is a significant change. You know, if your mother is always really good at memory, remembering names, and suddenly she can't remember, that's a significant change. Any memory loss that disrupts your daily life, we suggest then it's time to go see your doctor. You know, poor judgment and changes in mood and personality, but really a shift in your daily life that just seems abnormal, then it's time to go talk to your physician.
And then what's the role of the family then, when you have a loved one that is in those early stages of Alzheimer's?
Well, you know, unfortunately, the family members, the caregivers, are the ones who really take the brunt of this disease, because now the loved one who was able to care for every aspect of their life, suddenly the simplest of tasks are no longer able to be completed. So you can imagine the toll that that takes. And that's why at the Alzheimer's Association, we offer caregiver support groups. We offer, you know, a lot of one-on-one connection with folks that are looking for resources when they need a break, when they need some new strategies for dealing with behaviors and communications and things like that. Those are all resources that we're able to connect them, that we're able to give them connections to, because they are the ones who suffer the most. It's a long road for them, and really for people that have had plans for retirement, that maybe they thought they were going to travel, and now suddenly that has changed entirely. So it's a huge shift in what their expectations were for their older years.
With the number of people with Alzheimer's expected to grow, as the percentage of older people in the population grows, are there new support systems that are in the works to help support the people that are the greater number of people with Alzheimer's? Or is this something that still needs to happen yet?
Well, you know, we're obviously looking for more engagement across the state to get those supports available to people all across the state. Because we're so geographically separated, it is a challenge for us. But I will tell you, we have great tools within our organization, and that we're backed by a national organization that has a 24/7 helpline, which is available, again, 24 hours a day, a 1-800 number that is staffed with master care level social workers who are there if there is a crisis at 3:30 in the morning for the family. They are there to offer support. They have access to all of the South Dakota resources, so they can give them what is applicable to them in their state. And they also then forward that information on to us so that we can do follow-up from our local office as well. So that is a huge tool for people, as well as a website. As you know, when geography is a huge issue, if you can get great information from our award-winning website, which really has credible and valuable information on all aspects, from research to advocacy to dealing with those behaviors, like I mentioned earlier, you know, with a click of the mouse or even a phone call, you really can tap into some great resources. But that said, we are always looking to expand that reach. And, you know, one of the things that we're pushing for most is a state plan on Alzheimer's to make sure that our state is really dementia ready. Since we know, as you mentioned, that we have the second highest Alzheimer's death rate in America because of that, we have an older than average population in South Dakota. So we are really looking, you know, for our legislators and for our state agencies to get on board and help us create a plan so that we are ready, so that folks can have access to facilities and to resources and the training that is needed in those facilities, so that we can care for these people the best that we possibly can.
We were talking about research, international research for Alzheimer's. I'm wondering what the funding levels are in Alzheimer's research, particularly in the U.S., as people try to find some prevention and treatments for Alzheimer's. How's it compare to other things?
You know, Alzheimer's disease in 2014, as far as with the National Institutes of Health, was funded to the tune of about $566 million. And that is in comparison to cancer, which was $5 trillion for that funding there. So, you know, we've seen huge investments in cancer and HIV/AIDS and cardiovascular disease. And in response to that, we've seen a huge change in the number of deaths. They've gone down considerably. So now we just feel it's time for that same investment for Alzheimer's disease. You know, the amount of the change in death rates between 2000 and 2010 was up 68% for Alzheimer's disease, whereas HIV/AIDS went down 42%. So you can see when the money is put toward the research like that, we're seeing a dramatic change in the number of people that pass away from those diseases. So we believe now the same type of investment needs to be made for Alzheimer's disease.
Now, as we've mentioned, the walks to end Alzheimer's are being held around the country, and there's some in Sioux Falls, one in Sioux Falls, one in Rapid City, and one in Aberdeen coming up in September. What happens during these walks?
You know, these are the world's largest event to raise awareness and money for Alzheimer's, for support locally, like I mentioned, and also for the research across the country. And so it's a really neat way for families and caregivers, anybody that is impacted by Alzheimer's disease or even wants to show their support for those that are walking that road, to come together and really raise money for awareness and for the research as well, but to come together and feel a sense of camaraderie for those that when you look in their eyes, you know the road they're traveling along with you. And so we get together. I'll speak specifically to the Sioux Falls Walk, which is our first one on September 13th and is at Sertoma Park. And we gather and have an opening ceremony. Everybody gets a colored pinwheel flower, and it depends on a different color is assigned if you are a caregiver, if you're showing support for someone, if you have the disease, or if you know someone that has passed away from the disease. All different colors, one for each. Everybody is given one of those flowers and are asked to hold them up when we describe each segment of that population, and then before they get out on the walk, they place them in a promise garden. And so you see all these beautiful flowers when you come back from the walk spinning in the garden, which is very poignant because you see exactly who is represented there. And I will tell you, the blue flower is for those that have passed away. And when you see all those blue flowers, or folks that maybe the year before were a purple flower from someone living with the disease, and now that family has a purple one, it's meaningful. And we see families sit down in that promise garden, and we'll gather around grandma's flower and even have a picnic of sorts there afterwards because it is so meaningful for them. And so we have these across the state, and we are seeing them grow because we know more people are being impacted. And so I just really highly recommend that people come out and share that kind of support with others who, like I said, I keep saying, walking the same road as you are.
Yeah, it sounds like even given just the heartbreaking nature of Alzheimer's disease and what it does to the families, that these walks, even given that, they're still an enjoyable and maybe even a fun experience?
It is. You know, we have hope. The hope is in the research. And when you see the children that are there walking, we know we don't want them to be facing the same fate. And so that is why we are walking, is to change the future for them, and that to know that this, maybe for some people, the disease makes them feel powerless. But there is a sense of power in coming together for this walk with others.
And for people who wish to participate, what can they do, or what should they do to sign up?
Sure. If they want to sign up, the easiest way to do that is to go to alz.org/walk. However, you can show up the day of the walk. You can call our office. We can get you registered. I'll mention there is no registration fee. However, because it is a fundraiser, we certainly would love if people would reach out to those. I think that's another aspect of the walk. We have a lot of people come in who say, I didn't realize the support I had until people realized I had a walk team, and they came and were offering donations. Because we just had a fellow walk into our office actually this week who said, I don't know what to do, so I'm giving you this check because this is what I can do. And I think that gives a lot of hope to those families that are affected by Alzheimer's as well, to know that others are reaching out any way they can.
And the association's website?
Yes, it is, like I said, www.alz.org/South Dakota will get us to our local one. ALZ.org will also get them to the national one, which has all that great award-winning information that I mentioned.
All right. Well, Leslie, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you again for the opportunity, Carl.